We're used to the idea that throughout the book of Proverbs, comparisons are offered. Because usually, oftentimes it's in comparisons that wisdom clicks and understanding is impressed upon our hearts so that we can respond. And so we're told if we're working slowly that we're moving at a snail's pace and the point is made. If we are not receiving instruction, we're told that we're as stubborn as a mule. And we're reminded of the cartoons where the mule is sitting down in his haunches and will not be moved at all. And we're made very clear to us of how stubborn we're being. A person of good character is complimented when he's told, you're as good as gold, right? We use those kind of comparisons all the time. In the book of Proverbs, there's a simple phrase that's used 81 times. There's your first blank. 81 times to describe these kind of comparisons. And it's the phrase, but the. So-and-so is like this, but the opposite is like this. And that phrase occurs 81 times, highlighting the difference in these comparisons. Sometimes it's used of daily practice. Sometimes it's used to show the contrast between human responsibility and divine providence. Other times it's meant to show the contrast between different personal philosophies. For example, he that trusts in riches will fail, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Different perspectives on life compared and contrasted there. More than anything else, though, the book of Proverbs offers comparisons in relation to character studies. So we have studied the diligent and the slothful, the rich and the poor, the wise and the foolish, the simple and the prudent, I think will be our study next week. This week, one of the most striking comparisons is the froward and the righteous. Proverbs 3, verse 32. You should be turned there. Proverbs 3, verse 32 says this, for the devious person, there's the word froward, for the devious person is an abomination to the Lord, and the upright are his confidence. Five times these two individuals are contrasted in the same verse. This is one of them. The devious person is an abomination, but the upright are in his confidence. Proverbs 8:8 says this, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. Proverbs 10:31, the mouth of the just brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue shall be cut off. Proverbs 11:20, they that are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in the way are his delight. And lastly, Proverbs 21:8, the way of a man is froward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. Five times, these two are contrasted in the same verse. But actually, these two characters are talked about a whole lot more than that. You'll see that the character of the froward, of the perverse, is exposed 21 times, and the character of the righteous is addressed in at least 80 verses. Get the point? These are two characters that God wants us to be well aware of, comparing our hearts with our own, lest we find ourselves aligning with the wrong character. For after all, the verse we just read, Proverbs 3:32, the froward, the perverse, is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. So let's consider these two characters. We'll consider first the froward. First, the froward, and we'll just highlight some of the different aspects of this individual. Before we do that, though, we need to make a note that four different words are used throughout Proverbs to discuss this froward, perverse individual. Can I highlight those for you first? You might just want to jot these in the margin. The first, and I won't give you the word, but I'll give you what it means. It has the idea of perversity or crookedness. Perversity or crookedness. It's found nine times in the book of Proverbs. Secondly, another word has the idea of turning aside from what is right and becoming perverse. So there's a decision, a willful intent to turn aside from that which is what right and go in a perverse direction. Number three, that word was used six times. The third word, used five times, speaks of that which is fraudulent or deceitful. Again, there's a very keen awareness of what this individual is doing. He's being fraudulent. He's being deceptive. And then fourthly, this word is only found in one verse, but it has the idea of being braided like a rope or twisted. And that's the idea of the character of this man's heart. It's just twisted. Okay. This is the froward individual. In fact, Proverbs 22 verse 5 says, thorns and snares
are in the way of the perverse. So we need to recognize the characteristics of the perverse in order that we may diagnose and depart from that person and any remnants of that character in our own heart. First of all, the froward plan evil things. The froward plan evil things. Proverbs 16, 29, and 30. A violent man entices his neighbor and leads him into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise perverse things. What does it mean? What is it highlighting when the author uses the phrase that he shuts his eyes to devise perverse things? What's the idea there? Yeah, he's thinking. It's premeditated. He's planning. It's as if he's falling asleep in his bed at night. And as his eyes are closed, he's just mulling over what perverse plans he can introduce tomorrow. We've referenced in this room before, especially when we considered the character of the friend throughout the book of Proverbs, the story of Amnon and Jonadab. And you'll remember Amnon with a conscience enough to keep him from doing his diabolical plan of having an incestuous relationship with his sister, his conscience keeping him from doing that until verse 4. But Amnon had a friend. Jonadab is introduced. And do you remember what Jonadab did? He concocts this wicked plan whereby Amnon could accomplish the wickedness of his heart. Jonadab was a froward, perverse individual. And because Amnon couldn't diagnose it and couldn't distance himself from it, he was ensnared by the perverseness of the one who is planning evil things. Secondly, the froward speak perverse words. Might just want to jot these references down. 4 verse 24, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. 4 other times, this idea of perverseness in one's speech is addressed. 6 verse 12, 8 verse 8, 13, and chapter 10 verse 31. Over and over and over again, God is helping us understand, if you are trying to diagnose whether you or someone else is perverse or righteous, listen to what they say. Because after all, what comes out of the heart and heard on the lips correctly identifies that individual. Thirdly, the froward destroys relationships. Now, all of us are going to have tension at times. We're all going to experience difficulties in our relationships. But the froward, because of their pride and wickedness, sows strife and separates chief friends. This just becomes the characteristic of their life. You watch them year after year after year, and their biography is filled with broken relationships. Finally, they experience God's judgment. They experience God's judgment. The mouth of the just bring forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut off. It's a pretty vivid statement of their destruction, is it not? The froward tongue shall be cut off. Proverbs 17:20 says, he that hath a froward heart finds no good. This is kind of a sick reality, but up in Alaska, hunters who try to track wolves will take a blade, dip it in blood, freeze it, and then stick it out in their lawn. Overnight, as the wolf is attracted to the scent of the blood, he'll begin to lick the blood off the knife blade, won't even recognize it, and in so doing, he's cutting his own, and so will himself bleed to death because he unknowingly sliced his own tongue. Even so, what we discover as we trace the character of the perverse throughout the book of Proverbs, there are many deceiving, crooked, perverse people who lap hungrily at the pleasures of sin and fail to realize that God's judgment is sure as they do so. Be sure your sin will find you out. Friends, the counsel would be relatively simple this morning. If the characteristics of perversion are found within your own heart, they lead to only one place, and that is destruction. But secondly, friends, if you're surrounding yourself with those who are perverse, remember, evil companions corrupt good morals and will lead you there too. So let's contrast it quickly in the last minute and a half that we have here with the righteous. The righteous knows the secret of God. I'll come back and end there. The righteous speaks honestly. The righteous walks in straight paths. And notice, again, the contrast here. The righteous stands securely.
In contrast to the destruction of the perverse, God has promised, I will secure everlastingly my righteous one. Okay? That's our hope. That's where Asaph had to find himself. Why did the perverse prosper and the righteous suffer? God said, okay, but you've got to remember their end. You've got to remember the end. At the end of those two paths are two totally different conclusions. One is destruction. The other is eternal security. So choose wisely now. Friend, if that kind of hope, if that kind of end perspective isn't really helping you make wise, righteous decisions now, then would you consider the first, the righteous know the secret of God. And here we return to the verse that we started with. But his secret is with those who fear him. Throughout the book of Proverbs, that word secret is used most times to refer to intimate counsel, hidden knowledge, that which isn't widely known to the public masses. See what Proverbs is saying? There's an intimacy in one's relationship with God, with those who walk uprightly. After all, two psalms are dedicated to that. Who shall ascend to the hill of our God? Who shall abide in his holy presence? Those who are of an upright heart. You know, everybody likes to have a secret. Everybody likes to be brought in on that secret. Remember in elementary school? Remember when everybody knew the secret and you didn't? Or remember when you knew the secret and you didn't tell somebody else? Man, there was such a special awareness to the reality that I have a secret. The Lord chooses that word and reminds us that for those who follow his character, walk in his footsteps, and adopt the character of his own heart, there's a special intimacy reserved for them. Friends, avoid perverseness. Walk in uprightness. Know the secret of God and know the everlasting security of that path. Let's pray. God, thank you for the brief synopsis that we've been able to enjoy here this morning. Thank you for Pastor Phelps. Thank you for the diligence he's put into these lessons and going through the biblical data throughout Proverbs of these two characters in particular. Thank you for now the skeletal structure that we can take and do some more of our own study later. Lord, thank you for your relentless love this morning in clearly warning us. There are two ways to live. There are two options, wickedness, perversity, and righteousness. And they lead to two totally different conclusions. Father, may we choose to obey you. May we choose to do right. And may we know the wonderful intimacy of a relationship with you and of the eternal hope of knowing that we'll stand securely. Lord, thank you for the privilege of gathering with your people and worshiping you. I pray that in this next hour you would be honored with our hearts and with our voices as we turn heavenward and seek those things which are above. And Father, as your word is opened, would you search us and try us and see if there be any wicked way in us and lead us in the way everlasting. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.